Hello, and welcome to Beverage Industries Sip and Learn podcasting series. I'm your host, Barbara Harfman, Managing Editor of Beverage Industry Magazine. Today, we're excited to be joined by Bridget Thomas, who works as an industry research analyst out of IBIS World's New York office. In addition to researching and analyzing industry trends, Bridget covers an array of industries for the market research firm, including the $13.6 billion cannabis industry. Bridget is joining us today to give us a greater understanding of CBD and THC and what cannabis products are resonating with consumers. We'll also discuss the importance of cannabis on the $275 billion North American beverage marketplace. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bridget.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'd like to begin with what you're seeing in the overall cannabis market. Would you say the usage of cannabis products, which come in many forms, from gummies, chocolate, brownies, creams, and tinctures, is going up or down in the market? And what are the annual sales for cannabis products versus alcohol and non-alcohol products?
Overall, the market for cannabis products is growing every day. Especially like along with the legalization of medical and recreational marijuana in different states. Even between when I wrote this report and now, there's been changes in legislation, which is a pretty similar impact on how many sales there are and everything. So every day it's growing and changing along with legislation. And like you mentioned, there's so many different forms of cannabis products. It helps appeal to all demographics, basically, depending on what people are using cannabis for. And yes, so overall, it's growing.
Well, and then so, yes. And is it about a $13.6 billion industry? Did I get that figure correct?
So I have it estimated for medical marijuana and recreational marijuana dispensaries. An estimated $18.6 billion industry in 2021. But that is just dispensaries and not including medical or marijuana growing.
Okay. So it's probably a lot higher than that, given the fact mm-hmm. that there are people that are not going to medical marijuana dispensaries to get their marijuana products.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to estimate exactly with it not being legalized at the federal level, but based off my research, I have 2021 estimated at around $18.6 billion.
Okay. Well, and so then this kind of leads into the next question, Bridget, because I know that there's been a big upswing in cannabis products. Really, I don't mean to say this, that's literally growing like a weed from even 5 years ago. You know, what categories of functional products are you seeing that are containing cannabis? You know, beer, waters, what's the sense of where those products are, where cannabis is within functional beverages?
Right now, that part of the industry, I'd say, is pretty minimal and hard to estimate completely. But I have that in kind of like an other category for products, because right now the main products I'd say in the market are your more traditional like cartridges, pre-rolled joints, edibles, things like that. And those are the product segments that are growing or that are most prevalent in the market right now. But like I said, it's expected to grow in more product segments as well.
So COVID-19, the past year has been pretty crazy, and it actually has changed the growth trajectory for many products within the beverage industry. Spirits, wine, and beer saw double and even triple digit growth, particularly when we talk about e-commerce. Yet consumers cannot, I believe, order CBD and THC products via e-commerce. Is that correct? And how has COVID-19 and the ensuing stockpiling behavior impacted the use of cannabis-infused products?
You're right. Since it's not legalized at the federal level, there's the laws and regulations state to state are so different. But actually with COVID-19, what the industry has seen is a huge increase in online ordering, not necessarily e-commerce, but being able to pre-order what you want, picking it up. There's delivery services in cities like San Francisco or larger markets like that. But again, like the regulation is different for depending on where you are in the country. But there's been a huge increase in people ordering online, pre-ordering, so they don't have to go into the store and everything.
Yeah, I know what my husband does is he orders it online and then he goes and then he picks it up. So they make it really seamless for him. And I'm sure a lot of other patients as well. But do you think the stockpiling behavior has brought and COVID has brought the cannabis industry has increased its usage even more than, like, say, 2 years ago?
Yes, I think that's correct. Based off what I've researched and my estimates and everything, 2020 saw an overall increase in cannabis product sales. And the stockpiling behavior was definitely more evident, like at the beginning of the pandemic, similar to toilet paper and everything like that, when people around the country were not sure what was going to stay open and what they were going to be able to get. So obviously, as fear of accessibility was going up, people were stockpiling a lot. And then throughout, you know, as the regulations got a little more consistent and, you know, lawmakers were able to kind of figure out what was essential businesses and what's not, a lot of medical marijuana dispensaries were deemed essential. So as people knew that they were going to be able to continue getting their products, stockpiling went down.
Okay. And when you talked about the percentage between like 2019 and 2020, do you have a sense of the percentage of increase?
So I have estimated that 2020 saw about a 19.4 increase in revenue for the medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries industry.
Okay. And you know what, as far as regulations go, I know that those change every day. Do you have a sense of how many different states have kind of legalized cannabis versus those who have not?
Yeah. So even since I've written this article, it's changed. But right now, there's 15 states that have legalized recreational marijuana use, but that is kind of the 15th one is still kind of going through being approved. So Virginia and South Dakota right now are kind of had both been working on passing regulations for recreational marijuana use. But even in February of this year, it's been, you know, going back and forth. So.
Well, I know none of us can predict the legal aspects, but I mean, do you feel that down the road, you know, let's say 5-10 years from now, that it will be legal in all 50 states?
Yeah, impossible to say, but the change in administration right now, going to the Biden administration, seems like it's a more positive trajectory for legalization on a federal level. So, and based off of surveys and everything, the acceptance of using marijuana has been going up around the country, which obviously will help.
Okay. Well, and then we're going to get, I'm sure that you probably already know this, but CBD is a phytocannabinoid discovered in 1940. It is one of 113 identified cannabinoids in cannabis plants, and it accounts for 40% of the plant's extract. Within THC, there are three strains, cannabis sativa, which provides the cerebral rush or psychedelic high, cannabis indica, which is responsible for the relaxing and stony full body high, and cannabis hybrid, which is a combination of the two. Among beverages, which strain is the most prevalent? And can you give a sense of new product development and beverage innovations within THC, these strains in the market?
So I can't speak directly to the beverage make up with these different strains, but based off my research for the report that I did specifically on growing marijuana, the hybrid strain is the most popular. And so that kind of gives a sense of what consumers are looking for down the supply chain. So yeah, like you said, a mix of both strains kind of seems to be the most popular.
What trends do you think are responsible for the rise in cannabis usage? And what do you foresee is on the horizon for the cannabis category in the future?
I think overall, the biggest trend right now that's increasing use for marijuana is just how states are legalizing it on a, you know, regulation changing is the main driver for how many consumers are going to be able to partake in the industry and contribute to the revenue growth. So as regulation grows, I expect the industry to continue to increase. But other than that, just more and more doctors are kind of agreeing with using medical marijuana for different illnesses or anxiety. And so with increasing doctor approval, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with consumers being more comfortable using it. And overall, there's kind of less of a, with more regulation, consumers seem to be accepting marijuana use more, and it's not, doesn't have such a negative connotation that it used to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can remember like back in the 60s and 70s, the whole hippie movement and, you know, make love, not war kind of thing. And I don't think it had as bit of perception then, but I think it's interesting how it has evolved. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or stress that we haven't covered about cannabis and the industry?
I think overall that I really stress the regulation part of it, just because that's the, the only way that it's going to be a legal industry in the United States. So with regulation increasing and just the growing acceptance of marijuana use, I think is a key point for the industry.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Bridget. Thank you for sharing your expertise on the growth of the cannabis industry and providing insights on where the industry is going. For more about the latest innovations hitting the beverage market, be sure to check back with Beverage Industries Magazine, Sip and Learn podcast. Thank you.